with many saying that we are in fact in the last days right now as we speak. For so many, the temptation to live in fear has never been greater. Today's guest, however, offers an alternative, and that alternative may bring you a renewed sense of hope and purpose. Welcome, everybody, to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. Are you excited about today's panel? Today, I guarantee you are in for a treat. You will receive an infusion, I'm using the word infusion, of much-needed hope and encouragement. But before we dive into today's discussion, let me introduce who's on deck. He's a Bible teacher with a Master of Divinity degree from Talbot University, retired financial business analyst, and valuable voice in biblical prophecy, Jonathan Brentner. He's the author of countless best-selling books that have been distributed into the hundreds of thousands of copies worldwide. Welcome back again, Mr. Terry James. He's a teacher of Bible prophecy and apologetics, a retired 22-year Army aviator with numerous deployments to the Middle East, Europe, and Asia, and holds a bachelor's degree in international relations, Pete Garcia. For those just joining us, we are in week three of a series on two very important brand new Defender books. The first, The Triumph of the Redeemed by Jonathan Brentner, and we're going to be talking about this one today. Last week and the week before, did we have a riot talking about the unanswered questions around the rapture in the book by Terry James and Pete Garcia, The Disappearing, the subtitle, Future Events That Will Rock the World. Those programs, I think, rocked our studio audience. This week, we're going to focus in on The Triumph of the Redeemed. Guys, this book, what a much needed, and I'm going to use the word again, infusion of much needed encouragement and a focus on something positive, the promise of Christ. And too often when we deal with books that are supposed to be encouraging or enlightening or uplifting, they take kind of a coffee table form. Oh, I've seen books like that before. I've had anecdotal little happy thoughts for the day, scripture verse for the week type books. And there's nothing wrong with those if you find encouragement. But this book is meat on the bone, substantive. I mean, it will really pull on your heartstrings and put your head in a landscape of the perspective of why we're here and where we're going next, especially as it pairs with the book, The Disappearing. We're talking about the rapture, Bible prophecy, the imminent return of Jesus Christ, why we're here, and how to use every minute that we're here for his kingdom work. I want to start with the author of this book, Jonathan Brentner. You know, many books, as I've just described, that focus on the end times can kind of invoke fear in their readers. You almost have to hover your hand over the panic button and stave off the ejector seat and hope to make it to the end. You're looking for vapors of hope or encouragement. But your book frames some of these heavy conversations that we're having around the apocalypse, the destruction of Western civilization, with a very hopeful light, and yet it's not anecdotal. It's based on Scripture. Why did you write this book?
I wrote it basically to help believers have a two-world perspective, an eternal perspective, as the subtitle says. And I wanted to give believers hope, but I also wanted to give them some meat, as you say, because Satan attacks so hard at what people believe.
That's right.
You know, and because we believe that Jesus could come for us at any moment, that means that they need to know why this is true, and that's why Satan hates it and he attacks it. And so I developed the premillennial viewpoint, you know, to help, because that's really the foundation. If you're not a premillennialist, you don't believe in a literal tribulation, then what does it matter where the rapture falls?
Right.
But because there's premillennialism, then we can get into the rapture and discuss where it might fall in the tribulation. And of course, I believe it falls at the very beginning, well, before the tribulation starts.
Right.
Yeah, and his friend who read the book, you know, said, yep, now I am well-versed in rapture theology or something to that effect.
They said this after reading your book?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I missed it, but for those that haven't seen this, let me read to you again the subtitle, because as Jonathan just mentioned, it kind of says it all. an eternal perspective that calms our fears in perilous times.
Love it.
And I can't tell you, you know, it could just be the nature of being at Skywatch or proxy to Skywatch, but we do get a lot of emails from diverse type viewers who are scared to death, and they're looking at our program for some measure of hope. Well, friends, the triumph of the redeemed. Let me just put that out there. What about people who neglect or even outright deny the validity of Bible prophecy? You're seeing people that have no comprehension at all of Bible prophecy. And then you also see people that profess to be believers in the church who also have no concept of Bible prophecy. We talked last week about the Christians. How many? Donna had some of the polling in her head about the number of Christians that don't even know what the words the Great Commission or the words the rapture even mean. And again, this episode is not meant to start bashing on churches. We don't want to do that. But what I'm getting at is there are people, both secular and in the church now, who outright deny the validity of Bible prophecy. How are they supposed to process the times that we live in right now? And certainly as we move into the days ahead, how could they possibly framework any of what they're seeing?
If they're aware of what's going on, I don't know how they do it, because it would be very difficult.
Right.
Yeah, and there's a lot of believers that I've run across in different frameworks who I would call our mainstream media Christians, whether they're professing or out in the world, but they only hear what the mainstream media says to them. And those of us who are aware of prophecy, we're more in tune to alternate sources of news, I might think. We find people, like for me, J.D. Farag happens to be a source of information I trust, and we listen to prophetic speakers. Well, people who are shut off from that, they just hear what the mainstream media says. Things are going to get better. Everything's going to improve in the future. Normal is coming back. And it's like my wife and I had T-shirts made that say, "Normal's not coming back, Jesus
That's
is."
That's it.
But it's interesting. Brendan Holthaus recently had a prophecy update where he talked about Satan's psychological operation. And it was really fascinating because he compared what Nebuchadnezzar did with the four, Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they came from Jerusalem to Babylon. And he went through what they're doing and compared it to what the mainstream media and the globalists are doing today. It was really fascinating. But I think that explains a lot about why people just aren't aware. And I think of Proverbs 8:1 that says, "Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice?" And I think if you look and you're aware, you see that this world is headed downhill.
Oh, sure.
You know, evil is growing, lawlessness, violence, perilous times are here, but so many people are blind to it because they think that things are going to get better. This has happened before.
Right. We've been here before. We've experienced dark times before, or that it's a waste of time even trying to cipher prophetic times, or they'll even point at ministries like Defender Publishing. "You guys have been setting dates and putting books out for decades, and none of this stuff ever happens." Of course, we believe that we're pointing at the evidence of what people are seeing unfold literally every single day right now. But in your view, what about these Christians? They say that they're saved, and they treat things like the rapture, the second coming of the Messiah. We talked about the rapture last week. They think that some of this stuff is just distracting or even divisive, or it doesn't matter at all, or it's not relevant to their faith. In other words, "I'm saved, I'll always be saved, and the rest of this stuff, you know, premillennialism, the rapture, the Great Commish,
I don't need to worry about it.
We're good.
Don't need to figure it out."
And like Ali said last week or the week before, you know, "I've got what I need. I've got my long-term storage food. I've got my first aid kit. I've got my ammo. And, you know, I'm ready to bunker down." It's almost like the rapture is an escape hatch. They have no real deep concern about the guy that might actually be stuck on planet Earth the day after millions of Christians are raptured out of here. So Christians that say they're saved but treat some of these issues like the second coming as peripheral or distracting or too divisive to deal with.
Okay. Well, first of all, I might tell them to read my book, because I do deal with that in my book. I explain why these things are so important. But I think another thing I might ask them is, where is your hope during this time? If your hope isn't in the Lord's imminent appearing, if it isn't in the fact that Jesus is going to judge the vileness and wickedness we see in the world, then where is your hope? And I think that a lot of believers, of course, dominion theology is very prominent in some areas of the country, and they believe that the church is going to rise up and they're going to solve all the problems. In fact, at our church, which absolutely does not believe in it, we sang a song by Carrie Job. It's called Amen, Simple Gospel. And, you know, I'd never heard the song before, but we're singing along, and it was, and we get to a part of it. It says, the church is going to rise up. The church is going to be victorious. And my wife looks over at me and says, I can't sing these words. And I said, yeah, I agree. It was total dominion theology. But I think
it's frightening.
It is. And I think that even pastors who are simply amillennial or preterist or preterist, I always get that mixed up. But anyways, those people in those camps, they even elevate the church. So how the church is the answer, you know, that God somehow is going to resolve all the world's issues through the church because that's his body. And they neglect prophecy, so their hope is in somewhere else.
Right.
Or their hope is in people rising up, a truck convoy to D.C. maybe.
Yes.
We'll change things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I might interject here.
Yes, please.
Paul the Apostle and Jesus both in his word, in the words, when they deal with prophetic passages, you notice after those passages, we'll always give the admonition to comfort one another with these words. Well, there's great comfort in Bible prophecy, and we're told to comfort fellow believers. And that's an important commission, in my opinion.
You do see a lot of that dominion thinking, too.
Yes.
The idea that pastors are supposed to, from the pulpit, almost give marching orders to each election, what the, you know, hey, if you have a moral obligation to vote a particular way, and that it is the duty of the church to give these marching orders out to Christians because that's how we're going to redeem our country or we're going to get back on course for Jesus, where Jesus is more interested in your salvation than your political views. Mm-hmm. And so it is a dangerous theology, this idea that Christians gather in mass. And by the way, I'm not picking on anyone that feels patriotic that wants to vote their conscience. I even teach my kids to think. But that is a separate issue from the job of the church. Pulling a voting lever is what I do as an American. Mm-hmm. What I do with my ministry is a completely different category. Is this making sense?
That's right, yeah.
So we're taking care of children at Whispering Ponies Ranch. We're authoring books that are supposed to encourage and enlighten. Mm-hmm. And we're telling people about the eternal hope of where we're supposed to be headed in this next life, as opposed to what kind of circumstances we're dealing with here. And I know that's kind of an oversimplification, but...
Well, there's a flaw in the idea that all of our answers lie in the physical institution of the church. And we have a world that's so ripe right now for a harvest if we will extend hope to them. Because, you know, especially in the last couple years with some of the shutdowns that we've seen, alcohol sales spiked 240%. Yeah. Yeah. Drug overdoses spiked 18%. Domestic and child abuse not only spiked in its amount, but it also spiked in the types. So, for example, what might have been grabbing a child by the arm in years before turned into lighting a child on fire or trying to strangle them. The world is so out of control with this absolutely desperate need for hope right now. And when we're putting our hope in the institution of the church, we're still missing the true source of hope.
Yeah.
And so this whole message of hope and directing people to look to God for hope and actually then bringing in the kind of teaching that shows them the practical application of that hope into their daily lives and what to do, you know, with these kinds of situations, these big questions like, does God really love us? If so, why are some people left behind in the rapture? And all of these things that are addressed through the true message of hope as it pertains to rapture teaching and end times teaching and giving perspective to people, the institution of the church is going to fail people because it's made up out of people. Because it is,
that's true.
It's born of people and it's run by people and people let people down until we transcend above that and point people to God and the eternal hope of salvation and all of that, the world is going to keep searching and self-destructing with these, you know, tangible ways of searching that lead to dead ends. and lead to the kinds of disasters we saw during the shutdowns when every kind of depression and anxiety spiked because we have no hope outside of God.
Right. Well, it's true. And there's going to be a lot of, you know, continual failure in the church with as much great, wonderful answers that they can provide in those days, which is good news. There's going to be areas where we're kind of hit and a miss here. And one of the things that I was wondering, because we've talked about some of these terms that the church is not familiar with and people outside of the church is certainly not familiar with. One of them that you've mentioned is premillennialism.
Yes.
Why is that term so important? What does it mean and why does it matter
to
the viewers?
I think it sums up our belief in Jesus' thousand-year reign upon the earth, that there is going to be a separate thousand-year reign that's after the tribulation but before the eternal state. And, of course, some amillennialists will combine it with the church age and some will combine it with the eternal state. And it's important because, you know, people need to understand what's behind their beliefs in Jesus' imminent appearing. Some churches have taken the word premillennial out of their doctrinal statement. Sure. And famously, the Evangelical Churches of America took it out of their statement, and that caused quite a row a few years back that I kind of got involved with a pastor in our community. But it's important that people understand what they believe. And I think that 50 years ago, terms like premillennial and pre-tribulation, everybody would have known what they mean. But today, they don't. But I think that falls on the pastors to explain it. And of course, they're not explaining it. So I did not shy away from using that word in there, but I tried to explain. There's a heading for part two of my book. I explain what premillennialism is and what it means. And at different times in going through that section of theology in my book, I do come back to it and I explain because I think it's important for believers to understand that. And we've gotten away from it because pastors don't talk about it anymore. Right. And it's not just a term. It's knowing that we can take God's word literally and not apply allegory to it and not retrofit it with meanings that were foreign to the author at the time.
We're talking about the book Triumph of the Redeemed. And again, I'm going to read the subtitle to you, An Eternal Perspective That Calms Our Fears in Perilous Times. And we're going to show you right now how you can get a copy of this book, as well as The Disappearing by Terry James and Pete Garcia. And for the very first time ever in this package and moving forward, we have plans at the Skywatch TV bookstore to include digital copies of our books. So not only will you receive the physical copies in the mail after you place your order, but you'll also receive digital versions that you can put on an iPad, PDF, you can read Kindle. So take a look at this special offer. We'll be right back.
The world is plunging towards chaos as the return of our Savior draws nigh. Skywatch TV is proud to present the coming rapture exclusive offer. When you order Terry James and Pete Garcia's new book, The Disappearing, Future Events That Will Rock the World, from the Skywatch TV store, you'll also receive Jonathan Brentner's hope-filled book, The Triumph of the Redeemed, which will invigorate you with a sense of peace and victory amid the chaos that surrounds us. And you'll receive the never-before-released DVD, The Coming Judgments, where Terry James, Pete Garcia, and Jonathan Brentner team up to disclose what the Bible actually has to say about the judgments of Revelations and the imminency of the rapture. While hundreds of biblical experts point out the ever-increasing ways that individual freedoms are becoming perpetually threatened, global elites aggressively strive towards a one-world government and universal financial currency, and all accounts appear to be setting the end-time stage for fulfillment of God's prophetic word. The Disappearing, Future Events That Will Rock the World, chronicles what events are set in motion now that are driving the prophetic final act of human history, and will bring to you God's prophetic timeline in detail from this present moment. Vivid depictions of unfolding events immediately following the rapture and beyond, through planet Earth's judgment and ultimate restoration. A dramatic, eye-opening presentation of the rapture itself and what happens to children in the mysterious disappearance. Also, the new book, The Triumph of the Redeemed is a must-have manual of hope and strength in the end times. Join Jonathan Brentner as he helps you to grasp the eternal perspective during life's painful circumstances. In this vital resource, you will develop a firm foundation regarding the return of Jesus and in other areas, such as our reception of immortal and imperishable bodies, our participation in a jubilant celebration followed by a wedding feast, our return to earth and thousand-year reign with Jesus, and our life in paradise, dwelling in the New Jerusalem and exploring the new earth. But that's not all. This incredible offer also includes the never-before-released DVD, The Coming Judgments, where Terry James and Pete Garcia delve into great detail on the seal, trumpet, and bowl judgments listed in the Book of Revelation. This exclusive DVD also features Jonathan Brentner's presentation entitled Hope in the Rapture. You'll be shocked when you find out why the Thessalonians were grief-stricken regarding the rapture upon receiving the Apostle Paul's first letter, and how you can be free from this very same trap, all included in the brand new DVD, The Coming Judgments. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $65. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So while the world continues to storm, grab hold of the eternal perspective and be ready for the return of the King. This collection is available only while supplies last, so don't delay. The Coming Rapture exclusive offer, available now at SkyWatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to SkyWatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. We're in studio today with Pete Garcia, Terry James, and Jonathan Brentner. We're looking at both of their incredibly cool books, The Triumph of the Redeemed by Jonathan Brentner. And of course, Terry James and Pete Garcia have recently put out The Disappearing. And of course, you just saw the promotional spot for both of these products. And I want to remind you, you will receive digital copies of those books when you place your order at the SkyWatchTVStore.com. Before we run out of time, Jonathan,
okay,
for people watching the program who are thinking this book sounds very encouraging, can you give us just a taste of something that's in the book that might encourage the reader once they get a copy?
Okay, so you get towards the end of the book, and I talk about the triumph of the redeemed, and I'm not talking about dominionism there. I'm talking about what, how we triumph in Christ, you know, the glories that come to us. And the first thing I talk about is the glorified bodies. And I think that so often with preachers not mentioning the rapture, the glorified body goes by the wayside. They don't talk about the fact we're going to receive, you know, imperishable bodies in the end. And then I talk about the rejoicing in Revelation 19, where it talks about the great jubilation, where we're celebrating, there's thunderous praise in heaven, and we're going to be a part of that, and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then we return with Christ. We're going to have a front row seat to the most, probably the most spectacular event in human history up to that point, when Jesus comes back and we're going to be with him. And then I talk about the millennium and how, you know, many of our experiences here on earth, good and bad, I believe the Lord is preparing us for our roles in the millennium when we will reign with Christ. And many of the tragic experiences and disappointments in our life, we'll understand them when the millennium comes and the Lord gives us our role when he rewards us. And then, of course, lastly is the eternal state. And I think those five things together, you know, should be on our minds as we go through these perilous times. And my book is about just valuing the hope that we have in eternity above temporal aspirations. Right. You know, so often we get so tied up in what we want to do, and it's not bad to set goals. It's not bad to have plans, but you need to hold them loosely in your hands, right, realizing that our eternal reward is so much more valuable than the than the fruit of
circumstances,
our temporal.
Here now, right now.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
How many of you, when he was talking, thought of somebody you know that's battling an illness? Dr. Ralph is in studio today. Some of you have seen him on previous SkyWatch shows. Not to put you on the spot, Ralph, but when he said imperishable bodies, my brain went, Dr. Ralph, how many conversations have we had? We know somebody, Lori, Ralph's wife, Lori's here today. And they spend a lot of time counseling people through their health crises.
Mm-hmm.
And I, at times, don't know where they find the energy to do that, because it's a perpetual conveyor belt of people who are dealing with disease. And I think a book like The Triumph of the Redeemed might be a nice respite for people who are in the thick of it. They've got a sick child, or they've got a prodigal son in jail, and they're so wrapped up on the devastating situation that they're in that, like all of us, me included, people stuck here in a flesh suit on a fallen planet who are not impervious to worry and concern about the health of loved ones. And I know that this book is not specifically targeted, maybe necessarily only just the community of people struggling with health. But what I'm getting at is that those are the people that popped into my mind when you were talking about. And I know that next week we're going to touch on some of the perilous circumstances and the trials that you've faced. That also, again, when I say meat on the bone, this is not an anecdotal storybook. This is through the lens of a lot of Jonathan's personal challenges. And again, we have not even delved into those. And I didn't mean to take over the program. When you were talking, that really resonated with me, that people in those battles might find an eternal perspective, that calms our fears in perilous times in the book, The Triumph of the Redeemed. With just a couple of minutes left, Jonathan, let's switch gears. The dangers of amillennialism. And again, we've only got a couple of minutes left on the clock.
Okay, I'll make it short.
But so we want to be really concise, but what were the dangers of amillennialism in the past, and what would you say to those that take the symbolic approach to all of biblical prophecy?
Okay, well, first of all, I think that amillennialism magnifies the church above Christ. And my recent blog post, I talk about how the book of Revelation magnifies Jesus, and I believe it does it from beginning to end. But historically, it has led to such abuse. It has led to, you know, because when people say, well, you know, Paul didn't really mean this, and maybe he doesn't mean what he says here and here. And it always leads to heresy, really. It leads to people rejecting the truth of God's word. You know, they maybe the ones who start with amillennialism do not do that, but eventually it happens. It always leads to heresy. And it has in the past, and I believe it will in the future until Jesus comes.
I think, Jonathan, if I could just piggyback off of that as well, the historically we've seen what amillennialism has done to the church. It deadens the church. And in the third century, when Constantine legalized Christianity and opened it up, the world came into the church, right? The church was supposed to go into the world, and now the world is coming to the church. And they embrace this amillennial view because it does exactly what you said. It places the church above Christ. And the result of that was the next 10 centuries of Roman Catholic dominion in the Middle East and in Europe. And what do we get from it? We've got crusades. We've got inquisitions. We've got corrupted popes. You know, we've gotten this totally corrupted view. And that's when the church was the most powerful that it has ever been. What are we to think it's going to be any different in the future? I mean, humans, as Ali said, we're corrupted people. I mean, we're fallen people. So there is no hope in us. And just like Revelation 19 talks about, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, that it is all about him. And when we deny that, we take that the power and the supernatural out of Scripture. And it deadens. It deadens the church, and I've seen it firsthand.
It deadens the church, but if you want to feel some life, again, I'm going back to the word infusion of encouragement here. The book, The Triumph of the Redeemed, Jonathan Brentner, Terry James, Pete Garcia, thanks for joining us again.
You're very welcome.
Join us next week as we find out how the various trials and tribulations in Jonathan's life have been used by God for good, and why the Thessalonians were grief-stricken upon receiving the Apostle Paul's letter to them. You're not going to want to miss that. For everybody in studio, folks on panel, I'm Joe Horn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back.